97.5, The Fanatic.
Yes, it is an Eagles game day with D-Line. I'm Joe Torti, 97.5, The Fanatic. Nat Marlowe producing the program. Eagles-Bengals. Our predictions coming up later on in the show. And, of course, we're talking about the things that might concern you. And D brought up perfectly right before the break, leading me right into it, about the size of the Bengals wide receivers. And that brings me to Darius Slay. And I wanted to get a quick assessment from both of you about where we sit with Darius Slay through two games. Now it's just two games. Do you think that he has done what he can to live up to the contract, or is there still more to give to merit the cap number and the big salary that he's commanding here? What do you think, D?
I think he's done his job.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's hard to stand out when the defense as a whole has given up. By the way, their differential of 28 points if you average it 2 weeks mm-hmm. is the worst in the league.
Oh, it is. Huh. Yeah. How about that?
So it's hard to take one guy and say he couldn't do more because your defense has not done well.
Mm-hmm,
but I
sure.
think if you're just isolating him, I wouldn't be disappointed in his play.
Okay. Lived up to the contract, Nat?
I think everybody also, though, when big contracts... I say he's done his job.
Right.
I don't associate. I think once you sign a contract,
you're just there to
do the job.
Okay, interesting. Nat?
Well, with Darius Slay, I think he's personally has fulfilled his role well. But the thing when it comes to this Eagles defense, it's Darius Slay and no one else. It's just Slay. So he's doing his job. It's just that Eagles defense as a whole, I mean, by comparison, Darius Slay looks tremendous compared to everybody else on that defense. And anyone who says otherwise, I mean, take a look when he was with the Detroit Lions.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, the same situation there. It was Slay and no one else. Then again, like, that goes to show, like, when you're part of one of the most dysfunctional franchises in the NFL, being the Detroit Lions, you know, it's pretty easy to stand out when you are the best player on that defensive team.
Well, and so this is kind of what I'm thinking of here. I'm trying to think of the best corners that I can remember. And I'm not talking about all time, because there are guys that are just Lester Hayes and all kinds of guys who are just flat out unreal. But so let's say the last 20 years, which kind of encapsulates my football fandom. I know that there are some that go much longer than that. Champ Bailey, never on great teams, right? Ty Law, I'm not even sure how good Ty Law was. He was really, really good for that New England scheme and stuff like that.
Of course.
In New York, wasn't as good, right? Darrell Revis, never on really good teams. Darius Slay, never on really good teams. You just go on and on and on. There are tons of the premier corners. And I don't know if you consider the Rams a great team now, but Jalen Ramsey fits that bill too.
Like, sure.
Not on great teams. And it does make me wonder whether any corner, to Dee's point, like, you
by
to
yourself,
do the
you can't do it.
Is there any corner that's worth paying the mega money?
Oh, right.
Just because of the impact you get. If you were going to throw that money at a pass rusher, there are pass rushers who wreck it. Khalil Mack had nothing in Oakland. Nothing. And the Raiders' defense was respectable only because he was there.
Yep.
Right? I do wonder now, and look, the Eagles had to get better at corner. There's no doubt about that. So sometimes you have to overpay to get talent in. I completely get it. But it does make me wonder from a roster construction standpoint if it's even possible for Darius Slay to live up to the contract, quote-unquote, that he played. And maybe the healthy approach is to look at it like D does, where it's, hey, the ink's already dry. You might as well just look at whether the guy's
doing
the
job. And hope that the rest of your defense elevates its game.
That's right.
That would be the thing. All right, so you say put Darius Slay on AJ Green. Is that how you're going with it? Or because Tyler Boyd does
I
have their
put him
most
on Green.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd
right.
put him on Boyd,
Boyd right.
and double team Green.
Okay.
That's how I would do it.
Okay.
If it were me.
Which, by the way, did you see the quotes from Jalen Mills not happy about having to talk about Malcolm Jenkins? Somebody just
really
brought the, you know, are you missing the leadership that Jenkins brought to the table? He said, I respect the guy, but he's not here, and we have plenty of leadership, and we don't need to be talking about that.
Well, so
but if they have a bad game today in terms of the secondary against
yeah.
this Bengals core, It will come up again.
Well, so it's worth asking on a couple of different fronts. One is from a production standpoint. I thought Malcolm Jenkins was losing a step 2 years ago. However, still I would call an elite in-the-box run-stopping safety. And when you look at the fact that you've been run over in back-to-back games, right, that leads you to wonder, well, what's different? A lot of these pieces are the same. Oh, Malcolm Jenkins, an inside-the-box run-stopping safety, is no longer there. What's that? Jalen Mills, we like the idea that he wants to step up and hit somebody, but he doesn't really step up and hit people all that much. It's not that hard of a line to draw. The other thing is that I almost fell out of my chair when I heard Doug Peterson talking about leadership on the team and how everybody has the chance to be a leader. Now, young Joe, third or fourth grade Joe, was a very cynical young man, okay? And the first time...
Is this you in third person?
Me.
Okay,
yes.
Young Joe.
The first time that I heard a teacher say, everyone is unique and special, I immediately translated it as saying, that's another way of saying that no one is, right? Like, that is the truth that I recognized and realized early on. So for Doug Peterson to say, everybody on this team has the opportunity to be a leader, I'm like, that's another way of saying that no one on the team has any kind of authority, the same way that Malcolm Jenkins did.
Well, or more that has not shown the leadership.
Right.
We're still waiting for it to
emerge.
To emerge or show itself.
That's not good.
No.
And to the greater picture, those sorts of things develop during off-season OTAs,
correct,
training camp, preseason.
Where people's voices are heard.
Yes.
When you get scuffles because you've been hitting just each other, who rises to, kind of settle everybody who's not on the coaching staff?
So I think about J.J. Watt in Houston. I'm not saying that Houston's the image of stability, because I think they are hamstrung tremendously by their head coach / general manager, Bill O'Brien, right? But I saw J.J. Watt full-on call out a rookie, Ross Blacklock from TCU, in the fight. He said that was a selfish, stupid thing to do. J.J. Watt has earned the cachet to say that.
To be able to say that.
Yeah,
absolutely.
What about it? I said it.
Yep.
But there's no one on the Eagles, outside of maybe Jason Peters today. Yeah, but like Malcolm Jenkins could have said that, and no one would have batted an eye. Because Malcolm Jenkins spoke for the Eagles all the time.
If Kelsey said something, I think Kelsey has cachet.
I think it
on
counts.
The offensive side of the ball, at least.
Yeah. Just hasn't, though. He's never been that tight. But yes, he would be respected.
If he chose.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think it would matter even more, actually, because he never says anything like that.
Exactly.
I thought that was startling that Doug said that, everybody has the opportunity to be a leader. Because I thought, well, there are some teams that are, built up. Do you think in Seattle they say everybody has the opportunity to be the leader of the team? Like, there's no way.
No. It obviously is an answer to a question that where is your leadership coming from?
Clearly, yeah.
And, because arguably your leader has departed, your leader of the last, 4 years, Malcolm? Longer.
Yeah, how long has he been an Eagle? Longer than that.
Longer than 4 years?
Yeah, I think it's closer to 8.
All right. Was he always, though? I don't remember him being...
No, no. He was drafted as a Saint.
No, but I'm saying, was he always as, a voice? I remember his voice becoming bigger over the seasons. I don't remember him originally being the leader. Yeah, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, that's a good... I see that he first made the Pro Bowl in 2015.
All right.
So maybe that was, like you said, that's about the same timeline of when the leadership began, perhaps.
Right, for me, that's...
Second year in Philly. I would buy that.
Okay.
610-632-0975. What do you need to see from the Eagles against the Bengals? And we haven't even talked about the ground game and what the Bengals bring to the table, but they've been trying to make it happen with Joe Mixon getting almost all of the work there, dynamic runner.
I think he had 35 carries, but
not a whole lot of
105.
Yeah, that's not great
production.
Per carry.
Yeah,
production. When you look at it, a question that people are asking about on defense, because you both correctly pointed out, Darius Slay's kind of doing it by himself. That means, where's Fletcher Cox? Like, where is this defensive line that you spent all this money on?
So, he has the oblique. I didn't see, because if he was not going to play, wouldn't they have had to list that yesterday?
Yeah.
So, he's questionable. I assume.
Yes. Yeah. All right.
I mean, I hear you because he, Malik Jackson and Hargrave are supposed
to. Big money.
Yeah. If you're talking about Darius money, I mean, you've invested money in those three guys too, right?
That's exactly right. And that's kind of what I'm saying is that I get to some degree, I do, I get D's logic that like once the guy signs the contract, that's it. But it's hard for me to look, it's going to be hard for me to judge, say, Cravon LeBlanc's performance the exact same way as Darius. You know what I mean? Because
except for one thing, I would imagine your expectation for the one guy is not as great as it is for the other guy.
That's all it is. Yeah, money comes with expectations.
Right, so
yeah.
You're also going to be more lenient on the guy who's getting paid less.
No doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt. Exactly. Yeah, but that's also, we could chase that fox in a circle, too. You know, the money is there because we expect you to perform. Man, oh, man.
And my point being that Darius has performed.
I agree. I think, much better week one. I thought that last week he was all right.
Last week.
Well, I mean, no one played well
and
last week.
37 points would say no one played well.
That's the truth.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
It's a big Jim Schwartz game, isn't it? Isn't it a real, like, if you're talking about the Eagles giving up the most average points through the first 2 weeks, being in last place at your job is usually like a pretty good way of ensuring that you're not going to have your job for very long. This has to be a big Jim Schwartz week, I would think, playing against a rookie quarterback.
Well, the differential between what they scored and the opponent has scored.
Oh, that's, so their aggregate is the greatest. Oh, man.
Yeah, that's what they ranked.
Oh, that's great. That's really good.
When you bring up the Bengals and their running game.
Yes.
Burrow is somebody you better watch, too. I didn't realize who he's keeping company with in terms of
quarterback running.
Yes. Kyler Murray, Cam Newton, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, and Russell Wilson are the five in front of him.
Mm-hmm.
And then him.
Yes.
But look at the company he's keeping.
That's the truth. Now, I think that I've tracked this phenomenon. Don't you notice that rookie/young quarterbacks run all the time, and then there are some that keep running, and then there are some that don't?
Yes, because everybody wants to, we'll get him to stay in the pocket.
Right, exactly. Right?
Didn't we have a guy like that?
Yeah, well, I was thinking about like Philip Rivers and Ben Roethlisberger, right? They both came into the league running around a little bit. Ben moved less and less and less over the course of his career. Phil Rivers stopped moving like immediately. like year two, he's like, all right, I'm done with this. I'm done running around like crazy. I wonder where Burrow will fit in.
Yeah, that'll be fun to. I'm going to try to remember that 3 years from now. Matt.
Yeah.
What is he doing?
Yeah. What's Joe Burrow up to? When you look at it, he had the fact that he runs on the ground as opposed to running in the air extends drives and stuff like
that.
Yeah, that'd be good. Like a Skywalker kind of deal. Makes it difficult to predict. And this is what I was getting at in the first segment. What kind of Bengals offense you're going to get, right? Just expect that you have to stop Joe Mixon. You expect you have to stop A.J. Green and Tyler Boyd. Like, they've got weapons there. But then you're like, oh, yeah, I forgot that this kid also doesn't know that he's supposed to just, like, throw it away or pick up five on third and 12. And now you're extending a drive where you thought that you were getting off a field. You can only afford one of those. If you have two or three of those, if you're the Eagles, this game kind of goes the wrong way for you. What do you think about the fact that the Eagles are such slim favorites in this game?
Well, isn't that usually where people are putting money? Saying, oh, I like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Is it down? It was down to 4.5 yesterday after that, starting at 6.5.
Right. Started at 6.5, immediately got like bet down.
It's not lower than 4.5 now, right?
That's what
I checked, it's still 4.5.
Yeah, four and a half is what I have.
I think that it says a couple of things. It does. There is respect there for Joe Burrow, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one thing. What the Eagles defense has failed to do, coupled with Carson being lost, means there's doubt on not just one side of the ball for the Eagles, but both.
Man. We knew that we'd have questions about the offense early because defenses are always ahead of offenses early on, but I didn't expect that the Eagles' defense, with all the money they put in, was going to get shredded.
No.
Spend money on the defensive line, you spend money in the secondary. It's no secret they don't have any linebackers. They're not interested in having any linebackers. It's not a priority for them. But they've just been getting crushed. Whenever something called a Tyler Higbee catches three touchdowns on you, and not like fluky things where he's just gouging you, I think that there's something bigger wrong with the Philadelphia Eagles defense. Yeah, exactly right. I didn't know. If it weren't for fantasy, I would have no idea who Tyler Higbee was in the NFL. If it weren't for fantasy. And I think that's probably true for a lot of people in the city. We know exactly who he is now. Like that is absolutely an issue, especially when you look at the fact that tight end has kind of been a weapon that the Bengals traditionally like to use. They Jermaine Gresham and Tyler Eifert and all these guys they historically have loved to go to. Rookie quarterback likes to go over the middle. I don't know. There are ways that this could go wrong. I'm not sure that it will, because I do think that the Eagles have a history in the DNA of responding when your back's against the wall. But, see, when I look at the everything going into the game, I was asked yesterday if it was impossible that the Eagles lose this game. I said, what makes you think that? There's no way that it's impossible that they lose the game. I don't know. Are you as nervous as I am, T?
I guess I probably delve too much into the Cincinnati. Cincinnati doesn't, as a city, doesn't have a lot of faith in their football team. They have hope for the future.
Right, clearly, yeah.
But the amount of hope they have in the current moment... and they have more respect for the Eagles than we have, having watched the first two performances.
Okay.
Which means they're looking at it on paper probably and find that these first two games are not who the Eagles truly are.
Mm-hmm.
So from that standpoint, I have a score that I'm going to give. Whether I'm going to be on the money, I have no idea. But because it's easy to feel that, you know, can Carson really have forgotten how to play football? No.
Right, that's improbable. Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's the way I'm looking at it. And the other thing is, the Bengals, Carson's going to have time. I don't think it's beneficial in terms of him correcting what should be corrected.
Sure, yeah.
But these guys don't get to quarterbacks. And I think the number of pressures in their first 2 weeks is an incredibly low number. I think it was 4. Is that possible?
It could be possible.
I think that's what I read.
And the good news is that the player that I'm always most scared of defensively on Cincinnati's Geno Atkins.
And he's not playing.
It doesn't look like he's going to play. Yeah. Did he get ruled out? I thought that he was doubtful. Is he out? Okay.
That's just from something I read yesterday.
Atkins is out.
Yeah, okay, good he's
news.
Definitely out.
This is good news. But even if he were
He said that on Friday. Zach.
That's right.
Press's brother. 5-year older brother. He rolled him out on Friday.
But they've handled defensive tackles anyway, including Aaron Donald last week. So the Eagles' interior offensive line is holding up okay anyway. But anyway, what were you going to say, D? Sorry about that.
I lost my train of thought.
Oh, I trampled you.
No,
I'm so
fine.
Sorry.
It's fine. It'll come back.
Oh, jeez. It always does. All the good thoughts come back. 610-632-0975. Let me ask you this about this quote. You know, Marv Levy has an all-time quote for me. It's like, you know, people ask if it was a must-win game. It's like, now, World War II was a must-win. This is just a game.
Oh, that's a great one.
Right. That's a really, really good.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
I always liked Marv Levy.
Yeah. He's a good quote machine.
Absolutely.
Having said that, knowing that this is not World War II, how close is this to a must-win game as far as you're concerned?
Well, this if they start 0-3... I can't even imagine the quotes we'll get from postgame from Doug or Carson or anybody in company. That'll be a field day. But
Wentz is not ready to maintain the positivity when you go 0-3 and the third team's the Bengals. He's not ready.
I think he is.
You do?
I think he will never change.
Oh, I said that yesterday, too. I don't think so. But I don't think that he'll have seen anything like if you lose to the Bengals to drop to 0-3. Yeah. I don't know.
I think they have, I'm going to double check, 2 sacks over their first 2 weeks.
And 4 total pressures?
Yes.
It's pretty bad.
I mean, the numbers were ridiculously low. And so I think Carson's going to be able to have a good day. And it's not like he doesn't have, no, look, Rager's out.
Yes.
He's He's played the most snaps of any of those receivers. Mm-hmm. But who saved the day last year? Greg Ward.
That's true.
And Greg Ward always seems to. Now, I'm curious. Would you, starting Ortega Whiteside, would you do that over, you have a chance you could put Greg Ward in there?
If I'm the team, yeah, I probably am. I'm probably using Greg Ward a lot more than I'm using J.J. Ortega Whiteside.
But you're going to start Whiteside.
We've talked about it in the past. From my confidence perspective, you can't
I was doing it more for speed.
Well, I get that. Is Ward that much faster than Ortega Whiteside is?
I don't know. I feel like it is.
He looks like it.
And the other part is, how much are you doing for J.J.'s confidence standpoint when you have him out there for X number of snaps and you target him never? How much are you really doing for the guy?
Except on the biggest play where Wentz throws the interception.
Which was a gimme.
It was a gimme, so according to Brian Baldinger.
Layups.
Layups. Ken and Redding's next on the Fanatic. What's up, Ken?
Yeah, I enjoy your guys' show very much. I just want to make a comment, get your feedback. I just think, you know, I saw the Eagles being in trouble when they were going to move Jason Peters to guard. And my blunt opinion is, if you as a general manager or player personnel guy can't find a person in the fifth or sixth round that's going to be like 25 years old or whatever, it's going to be a better athlete as a pulling guard than Jason Peters, and maybe you shouldn't be a general manager in the NFL.
Well, I think that one of Jason Peters' major qualities that he has is athleticism. So I think that that's what they like about it, the fact that historically he was
at 39? Tight end.
That's the question. The question is, at 39, can he still bring that to the table? Ken, I think your point's valid. I do wonder if they were more curious to see whether he could handle doing something like that, because he'd have to learn a new position, too.
Yeah, and I was curious. I tell you, when they won the Super Bowl, and he had $10 million left on his contract, I just really started watching that, because I really think part of New England's success is they refuse to pay today's dollars.
That is true.
Yesterday's wins.
Yep.
And I just thought Lurie should have called Peters in the office and said, you know, I really appreciate what you've done for us. You got a job in the front office. There's a suitcase here with money. I'm going to get up and go get a cup of coffee. And when I come back, I don't want to see you or the suitcase. But with the salary cap, you just can't do. You can't pay somebody $10 million for what he did yesterday. That's where these teams get in trouble. And again, I just think, you know, I mean, he did it. He wanted to get rid of Brady 3 years. He wanted Garoppolo. Mm-hmm. He knew the end was coming. And I just think the Eagles need to get somebody who really knows football personnel in that room. I'm from Cleveland. I'm a Browns fan. But I think John Dorsey, you know, he was terrible with the salary cap and a head coach, but he did find Patrick Mahomes. He did find Nick Chubb. He got Kareem Hunt. Now everyone forgets about Kareem Hunt's past discretions, but I just think a player personnel guy like that, I think the Eagles desperately need that in their front office. Do you agree?
Ken, thanks for the phone call. I appreciate it. D, it's a question that...
Well, he's absolutely right about the Patriots. They do not pay you for what you did in the past.
No.
And they don't. They really try to avoid bad contracts. You know, to the ones that you're talking about, where you're looking at the guy and say, is he living up to the money he's making? They just don't do it. But in addition to that, they have been able to bring in guys that maybe didn't perform as well or were problems on other rosters, and they've performed well. Randy Moss is always the first one that comes to my mind. But they'll also let it go. If it's not working out, they have no problem saying bye-bye. So I would say that his point would be more to that this city is ready for a different style of general manager.
Sure.
A person who puts their priorities in a different place or evaluates talent differently, whether it be in the draft. I think Howie does get a lot of credit for some of the moves he's made in terms of trades. But I do think people think that straps them salary cap wise, because you're giving up, you know, doing well in the draft, giving up those assets, mm-hmm. to go and get a proven guy.
We're going to talk about the Eagle way versus the Patriot way as well when we get back. 610-632-0975. It's D-Lineham and Joe Torti right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.